Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
How is it that when he became mayor, he was worth $3 billion, and somehow, even though the economy of the United States was on the downturn, he is now worth between $16 and $18 billion?
Wow. City Councilman Tony Avella of Queens making the most extreme charge in last night's mayoral primary debate.
You cannot tell me that he didn't use the position of mayor to further his own financial wealth. And I know, as chairman of zoning and franchises, I believe that he used the information in his office through Deputy Mayor Dan Doctoroff to help his company when it came to negotiations with the cable franchise renewals. And I think that actually came out in part in the New York Times. It's amazing to me how he was able to increase his financial wealth multifold, yet somehow he didn't see the financial crisis coming on the scene to New York City.
Mayor Bloomberg, already a billionaire, benefiting personally from being mayor. Do we want to go there, Councilman? Well, he did. He also made the charge regarding a so-called possible scandal regarding his opponent in the primaries, Bill Thompson. As we just heard with Richard Hake in the news, let's hear that again.
The truth is, my opponent is getting huge amounts of money from Wall Street, from the money managers, of the pensions he supervises, from the real estate developers. His is not a real grassroots campaign.
So we realize this may not be the first thing on your mind this morning, but two New York City Democrats are running in a primary for the chance to take on Mayor Bloomberg in November. And in case you are in that majority of New Yorkers who has not paid one ounce of attention to this race, the two are the city controller, William Thompson, and Queens City Councilman Tony Avella, who we just heard. And last night, as required by law, because they both take public matching funds, Thompson and Avella were in a broadcast debate. WNYC was one of the broadcasters, and I was one of the questioners. You will not be surprised to learn that they both went after Mayor Bloomberg on his campaign spending and his suspension of term limits to run for a third term. They both dismissed the improving test score results as less than meets the eye with respect to improving education, stop and frisk as excessive, increased homelessness as a failure of the mayor's development policies as being out of step with communities, and the response to swine flu as failing to communicate clearly with parents. So they differed with each other, not so much in substance, mostly in terms of degree. Councilman Avella made a pattern of promising to abolish or to fire.
And of course, you've heard me say this now for years. The first thing I do is fire Joel Klein. I actually think the time has come to end discretionary funds once and for all. As mayor, I'm getting rid of the Rent Guidelines Board because they're a landlord-dominated agency.
Stop and frisk is still being done by the NYPD in massive numbers.
Well, I'm going to stop the practice, period.
On abolishing stop and frisk, I followed up with Controller Thompson.
Controller, you get a rebuttal. Do you think it's irresponsible to abolish stop and frisk?
I don't know that it's irresponsible. As I said, it's a police tool. It has to be managed. There has to be real oversight. We have to make sure it's not overused. When communities feel that they are being targeted, and what we're seeing is, as I said, 88% of the people who are stopped have committed no crime, have done nothing wrong. When people feel targeted, when people feel singled out, then there is something wrong and there needs to be closer monitoring of it, and we need to make sure it is not being overused or misused.
But you're running against him right now. You're not going to take a position on whether it's irresponsible to abolish stop and frisk as he's proposed?
As I said, it's a police tool. You'll have to, you can make that determination. I'm not going to do that.
And we will hear more clips from the debate shortly, including a surprising criticism of the city's expansion of bicycle lanes. But let's talk about the debate and the issues raised with Bob Hart, political director and executive director at New York One, which also sponsored and aired the debate, and Gerson Barrero, El Diario La Prensa columnist and author of the website The Barrero Report. Hi, Bob. Hi, Gerson.
Hi. Hi, Brian.
Hi. Buenos dias, Brian.
Now, this debate may not change much politically, but I liked it, and I'm glad it was on television and radio. I thought they both articulated criticisms of Mayor Bloomberg that don't get heard very much, whether we agree or disagree with the particulars, and they talked about a lot of specific issues in specific terms, and we just heard a few there. Your main thoughts about last night, Bob Hart?
I thought we heard a lot of very cogent criticisms of the Bloomberg administration 7+ years in City Hall. What we didn't really hear was a lot of solutions. There's a lot of finger pointing. You played some very good sound bites just a moment ago, but we really didn't hear from Tony Avella or Bill Thompson was what they would do differently besides, like we heard, fire people, move people around, et cetera. But I do agree with you that there was an important debate in that it got perhaps some New Yorkers realizing, oh, my goodness, there's a mayor's race. There's some issues I should be thinking about. And maybe everything isn't always as hunky-dory as the mayor says it is. So in that respect, I think it was a very valuable debate.
And I just realized that instead of calling you executive producer at New York One, I called you executive director. I didn't mean to give you that much of a promotion, Bob.
I think my bosses were getting worried for a second.
Gerson, your main thoughts.
Well, as long as the paycheck increases. But having said that, Bob and Brian, I think WNYC and both New York One and New York One Noticias, I really mean this. I think that the service that you provide in terms of bringing this to, you know, things that are not popular or sexy, and the dominance of Michael Bloomberg with his zillions of dollars dominates the political discussion in a not a very substantive way. And I think we saw, as limited as it was in terms of providing the kind of responses that we're looking for, I beg to defer with my boss over at New York One in the political segment, the political rundown, that in fact, there was more than we've heard so far. The media is to blame in a large, with few exceptions, that we really don't concentrate in the voices that are offering a different viewpoint of what seems to be Mayor Bloomberg's perfect New York. However, I do point out, I'm glad you started out with that soundbite, Brian, with regards to the accusation from Tony Avella. There's a tailor-made investigation by our Attorney General Andrew Cuomo to, in fact, why doesn't he do that? It has all the makings of an investigation by our very dedicated Attorney General going after Wall Street types. It has, that's where Mike Bloomberg comes from. It has the profiteering, if Tony Avella is right in his allegations, and this could be, never mind Bernie Madoff, this could be turn out to be the all-time, you know, thievery, if in fact you're to listen to Tony Avella.
But Gerson, based on what? If Avella is charging that the mayor is using his office to benefit financially, I haven't heard anyone else make any charge remotely resembling that. Is there any evidence at all to justify an investigation or even a conversation, or was Avella just out on a limb trying to grab a headline?
Well, aside from grabbing the headlines, I think that Mr. Avella seems to be a responsible person. I think that you can't just dismiss it either. So maybe the Attorney General of New York State should take a look at that and talk to Mr. Avella. You can't make those type of accusations. We've all suspected, not all of us, I have always suspected how much money Mike Bloomberg has and how much he profited since becoming mayor.
Brian,
I think the crux of Avella's argument was the Forbes estimate of how much Michael Bloomberg was worth. And what happened was they had early estimated him as around $3 billion, I believe, and even the mayor at that point scoffed at it. This is a few years ago, saying it was too low. What had happened is then he repurchased some of his stock, Bloomberg LP, and there was of course, has a dollar figure associated with it. So suddenly Forbes said, oh, my goodness, this stock that he owns is worth a lot more than we had earlier estimated, and he's really worth more, like $16 million. So this isn't a question of us sitting down and looking at his public portfolio and suddenly seeing his wealth go up by 5 times over a few years. It was a fact that a magazine probably grossly underestimated it as well. So I think it's really as innocent as that. I don't think that the mayor suddenly quadrupled his wealth because he was mayor. It was simply Forbes not, you know, able to put their finger on how much he really is worth.
And what about the charge against Thompson, who is Avella's opponent in the Democratic mayoral primary, about taking campaign donations from Wall Street and developers who then have some relationship to the pension fund that Thompson oversees? Bob, what's there?
Well, I mean, Bill Thompson says there's a large Chinese wall separating himself from those kinds of decisions. But, of course, you're always going to have people like Tony Avella and others be able to lob those charges at you, because there is some truth to that, that when you're taking donations from people who have interests, I mean, this goes with all politicians, not just Bill Thompson, there's going to be accusations like this that'll be made. I mean, Thompson was basically saying, hey, we vet these things, I don't look at these things, and we move forward. But at the end of the day, this is something that we've already been hearing from the Bloomberg campaign, and you can be sure we'll be hearing a lot more of it should Thompson become the nominee, which seems extremely likely.
Gerson, I played the montage of Avella saying he would abolish so many things and fire so many people. He said he would abolish the Rent Guidelines Board, which sets rent stabilization rates. He said it's a tool of landlords. He would abolish the NYPD's stop and frisk campaign. Thompson just wanted to improve both those things. Are these, in your opinion, irresponsible suggestions by Avella? Thompson said we should be the judge of that when it comes to stop and frisk.
Well, it was an easy way for a scripted or overscripted person who wants to be our next mayor, I'm talking about Bill Thompson now, who's currently our controller, to evade the question. I think that you posed a legitimate question. He avoided it. And I got to tell you, how does Bill Thompson justify saying that when used appropriately, it is an effective tool? Well, how do you guarantee that? By firing Ray Kelly and you bring in your own person, which he's entitled to if he were to become the mayor? But I think that Tony Avella hit a chord with a lot of communities who are over, shall we say, stopped and frisked. I'm a member of that community, of one of those communities, as a Puerto Rican, and people of color in the city, overwhelmingly. That's been demonstrated by even Mark Green, who is now again in the fall and trying to become public advocate. I think that Billy Thompson has really got to check that response, and maybe not abolishing it as Tony Avella would do, but what I want to hear from Billy Thompson, how does he guarantee that it would be used effectively? Who guarantees that the next police commissioner will do it? And who guarantees our police officers who are trying to prevent crime? So there's got to be a happy medium. I thought he took the easy way out, and when he threw it back that we're supposed to determine whether it's irresponsible or not, he should have said it right there. I think that Bill Thompson was in a comfort zone. He's a gentleman. He's a nice guy. But, Billy, if you want to take it away from Mike Bloomberg, you got to step up to the plate here.
Gerson Barrera from El Diario La Prensa and the Barrera Report. Bob Hart from New York One with me on WNYC as we break down last night's mayoral primary debate. The only thing I guess Avella waffled on was whether to endorse Governor Patterson if he gets challenged in a Democratic primary next year, and he decided finally not to endorse the governor. I guess that's an implicit endorsement of a presumed Andrew Cuomo run. Thompson, for his part, did endorse the governor against any possible Democratic challenger. And in the lightning round, they were asked if they ever voted for any non-Democrat in their lives. Avella answered yes. Thompson answered no. But, Bob, when I asked Avella after the debate, I went up to him on my way out, and I asked him, well, who is that non-Democrat who you voted for? And he said he couldn't remember. I said, well, was it Bloomberg? No, I never voted for. Was it Giuliani? No, I never voted. But he just could not recall who the non-Democrat was who he voted in the past. I thought you'd like to know.
Tony sort of emerged as the Dennis Kucinich of this race in the Schlesinger tactics that we heard on the stage last night. It was very interesting, and it provided for a good foil to Thompson at times.
Here's one exchange that surprised me last night. It begins with my question about a Bloomberg appointee who I thought was pretty popular.
Mayor Bloomberg's transportation commissioner, Jeanette Sadikhan, has a reputation of being very progressive for multiplying bike lanes, pushing for bus rapid transit, closing streets to car traffic, including Times Square and Herald Square. Does she deserve reappointment, Controller?
I think you bring your own team to the table. So no matter how progressive, I think it's important that a mayor bring their own team along with them.
No, I think she's done a terrible job. You know, a terrible job. Terrible job. And all those things you mentioned, some of them are good ideas, but there has to be community involvement. You can't just dictate from the top, hey, tomorrow here's a bike lane. Here we're going to close off the street without having communication with the elected officials, the community board, and the neighborhoods. And that's why she should be fired.
Terrible job.
You know, the one thing that you will hear across the city of New York, and I think I favor bicycle lanes, however, you're hearing a complaint all across the city of New York because communities have not been consulted. They've been ignored. Bicycle lanes have been dropped upon them, and there has been no discussion. That's wrong, and that shouldn't continue.
So, listeners, let's do a quick call-in on this one. If you have an unwanted bike lane in your neighborhood, call us up, because this one was new to me last night. Seriously, any controversial new bike lanes out there? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Does anyone anywhere in the five boroughs have a bike lane that you think is unwanted by you or much of your community? 212-433-WNYC. And Gerson, were you surprised by Avella's harsh view of Sadiq Khan or the imposed bike lane issue?
I actually agree with him, so I was applauding him and edging him on. I wish that there would be more discussion on that. I think that there are things that have been definitely done by this transportation commissioner and this mayor that I don't think all neighborhoods, I mean, that I find it ridiculous what they've done in Manhattan, in Midtown, in the area of 42nd Street, and I've said so on New York One. But look, Brian, I got to tell you, the city council slush funds, I think that's an area that all New Yorkers are really, it's a picking of our pockets. I don't really understand the system. I know that the city council members actually do have a say in that, and it's their way of dispensing to community-based organizations. I think there should be more on that. I think that Christine Quinn has gone away with a lot of the fault for these phantom organizations that were set up. There's a lot of people. It isn't just Miguel Martinez who probably will wind up being one of the culprits and the other people who have been accused. I think that he needs to, this is a serious, serious matter which can't be dispensed in just the short time that they talked about it. And I think that it's an area that also needs to be further probed by the media and by some DAs in the city and probably the attorney general also.
Yeah, that slush fund, so-called, getting onto people's radar screen. We've done some segments on it, and we played the clip just there of Avella saying he would abolish all discretionary funds for city council members to make sure that they're not used in untoward ways. Phil in Queens has a bike lane in his neighborhood that he says is unwanted, right, Phil?
Yes.
Where?
First of all, I want to just say that Tony Avella is the most responsive politician that I have ever lived near. And
are you in his
Phil
district?
And him would make wonderful mayors, and they're not oligarchs like Bloomberg. But let's get to the bike lanes. This city put up bike lanes all over Queens, northeastern Queens, that nobody uses, that I have never seen a person bike on. They closed streets, they rearranged streets, and they made two-lane streets, one-lane streets to accommodate the bike lanes. And then they took away part of the bike lanes, and I know you're from Queens originally, Bayside, too.
Right.
The near Cunningham Park and Alley Pond Park, suddenly where people actually biked, there are no bike lanes. So it just seems that somebody, I'd love to see who got paid off for the millions and millions of dollars of wasted, you know, man hours and painting of these bike lanes, and they made congestion in areas of Queens that there's never been because they took two-lane streets and made them one-lane streets.
Phil, I'm going to leave it there. We have a lot of people calling in about unwanted bike lanes. Dorothy and Chelsea are on WNYC. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi. One day at 9th Avenue and 23rd Street, bike lanes just appeared with no adjustment to the lights. And
who gets hurt?
Well, they've got it so that it works kind of now, except that the bikers generally go the wrong way, go up 9th Avenue instead of down. And it's kind of okay.
Okay, thank you. Jeff in Rupert Towers. That's Upper East Side, right, Jeff?
Correct. Rupert Towers is in between 90th and 92nd and 2nd and 3rd Avenues. And I ride a bike. So, by the way, I'm not totally against bike lanes. However, 91st Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenues, which is right in the middle of Rupert Towers, is closed to vehicular traffic. The children play there, people sit there, people walk there. It's a brick street. And they didn't yet put the bike lane in because the neighborhood had a huge uproar about it, and I don't know whether they're going to put it in. I haven't seen any signs lately.
I see. So that's a no-car street, and you want it to be safe as possible for pedestrians by not adding the bicycles.
Especially the children. They're playing in the middle of the street, and we're going to run a bike lane through a pedestrian street?
Thank you. Alexander in the Bronx. Sorry to cut you off. Going to get another one in. Alexander in the Bronx. Hi.
Hi. Brian, listen, the Grand Concourse, right from 205th Street all the way to 161st Street, they put a bike that definitely shouldn't be there. In the first place, it increases the traffic on both sides of the lane. So there's a lot of traffic jam right now, which is the whole point of having a bike lane in the first place.
Alexander, thank you very much. So, Bob Hart, well, at least I learned something about the extent of controversial bike lanes in the city. You hear all those callers from all those boroughs.
It's funny, you know, New York 1 is along 9th Avenue, and I agree with the one caller about the bike lane right by us. I think it's great for bikers, but unfortunately people are going both ways, and if you're, as a pedestrian, you have to be extremely careful for that extra turn of the head because there's always someone going the wrong way in that bike lane. It's funny, it reminds me, Rudy Giuliani had a transportation commissioner who tried a lot of innovations, Chris Lynn, but he had the same kind of complaints. He was doing a lot of things without getting a lot of okays from different people in the community. So Jeanette Sedicon, the problem for her, our transportation commissioner now, is if she waits and waits and waits, probably nothing will get done. But so therefore she's going ahead and trying a lot of these innovations, but also breaking some eggs and getting some New Yorkers very upset, including Tony Avello and some of your callers.
One more clip from last night's debate. I asked both candidates about the new ultimate power broker in Albany, State Senator Pedro Espada of the Bronx, who, as you know, flipped power to the Republicans this summer by switching his leadership vote, then switched it back to the Democrats a few weeks later in exchange for being made Senate Majority Leader. This exchange begins with my question.
And just real briefly, both of you, this has been the summer of Albany dysfunction on full display. Councilman, first, what's your own opinion of the new leadership of the state Senate, especially the Senate Majority Leader Pedro Espada? Is he our partner and working for the city's best interests, or corrupt and self-interested, or
corrupt,
how would you characterize
corrupt him? Corrupt and self-interested. And I think anybody who says differently is lying.
I think that what's happened in Albany is a disgrace. It is dysfunctional. It is disgraceful. It has hurt the city. It has hurt the state.
And on Espada particularly?
I don't believe that he has been a friend to New York City. Let me be blunt about that. I don't know, I don't know if he has any friends in Albany, but definitely not a friend to New York City.
So, Gerson, I was surprised by their unequivocal answers there. I mean, if elected mayor, they'll have to work with Pedro Espada to get things done.
Well, I sort of expected, Brian, for you to take a lightning rod, mode in terms of going through, Pedro Espada, Malcolm Smith, the three amigos, Aaron Montserrat, Carl Kruger. I don't think he's the only culprit. He must be the most known villain at this point. I was surprised at the fact that he's paying for the mess up there, when in fact this is this is sort of a mini junta who has come together to, mess up the Albany worst than it is. So, picking on Pedro Espada is easy. I think it was, accurate, but they should have been more on Malcolm Smith, the chaos he's created, the lack of leadership. John Sampson, is he really a leader? Carl Kruger, the involvement of Ruben Diaz. So I was sort of waiting for more. I don't think Pedro Espada is the only guy working alone there to destroy New York City. So I was sort of disappointed that they didn't engage more. It's easy picking on the villain of this particular time, but I think there's many, many villains up
there. He's the one who flipped parties and flipped back and has the whole, which party has in his hands, and he's the one who's under investigation for all this stuff. Does he not deserve singling out?
Wait. There is alleged investigations, and I think that until something is proven, and I'm not defending him, it's awkward, but Malcolm Smith certainly shouldn't be investigated. How does Carl Kruger benefit? And I think that, I sort of do like a David Patterson here, our esteemed governor, who sort of feels he's picked on. Why is it the Puerto Rican everybody's picking on when there's other people involved in here?
Bob Hart, a last word?
I think because he's the majority leader is why people are picking on him. He's more powerful, arguably, than Malcolm Smith or anyone else in the state Senate.
But they all share in creating the chaos and bona fide members of this circus that we have, this dysfunctional state government that I don't know who's the leader up there. We have a governor who's clueless. We have the people in both the Senate and the Assembly going around in circles. So
right.
I thought it was just – anyway, look, he is one of many villains in my estimate, and I think it was a cheap shot on the part of Billy Thompson, who will probably – I wonder what he would do if, in fact, Espada Nevada regains some of the reputable presence that he never had if there's no investigation of him. And as you suggest, Brian, what happens if he actually, none of these investigations pan out and he remains? Where does Bill Thompson go if he's ever elected mayor?
All right. Bob Hart from New York One, Gerson Barrera from El Diario La Prensa, and the Barrera Report online. And as Gerson mentioned, he's also on New York One on Wednesday nights on their political rundown segment. I was tweeting the whole thing. Bob, I think I managed to keep it off camera during the debate. And if people want to see my Twitter stream from the debate, we've linked to that on our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And we'll be doing more New York One WNYC debates throughout this election season for mayor, public advocate, and controller. Guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you,
Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, should New York City schools close for two Muslim holidays like they closed for some Jewish and Christian ones? Stay with us.